Hello and welcome to Journal of the Medical Intuitive, Episode 11, Virus, Fires, and Structural Demise. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest. I'm sorry for the long gap between episodes. I was in a bad car accident and have been mending. The head injury affected my ability to do medical intuition, and as a result, I was unable to get my own intuitive insights to assist in my healing or to teach medical intuition for a while. I was eventually able to get some guidance from my guides, however, and have been helped also by some healers in the physical. It just brings to my awareness how important it is for medical intuitives to know other healers they can call on when they're too sick to use their own gifts for their own healing. One interesting thing that happened in the wake of my accident is that some of the tests they ran ended up confirming some information I had gotten through medical intuition many years ago. And this got me thinking about something that I have long felt, which is that when it comes to medical intuition, it's so important for people to be able to have access to scans, to diagnostic scans like MRIs, CAT scans, X-rays, ultrasounds, etc. Because these scans can tend to confirm information that medical intuitives give. It's my hope that in the future, medical intuitives will work with doctors and healers on healing teams to help patients get the best possible care. If you ever wanted to donate to support this podcast, now would be a good time to do so, as I am on the mend. Just visit my Patreon page to support my work. Now, prior to the accident, I got a transmission from my guides in September of 2020 that I did not share to this podcast as I was worried that it was too alarmist. But today is January 6th, the day our government was almost overthrown by a coup, so how bad can my podcast be compared to that, right? Seriously, though, doing this kind of work is not easy. Precognition often manifests in the reception of predictions about death, tragedy, trauma. And who wants to be the bearer of bad news? I know I don't. Still, I'm trying to get out of the way and to just allow the information to come and to not censor it, to trust that my listeners can handle whatever I have to share. So I will begin today with providing some information from the September transmission. The information I received on September 9th came from the Galactic Federation. And those of you who've been listening know that I have a number of different guides I work with. And when I began this podcast a year ago, I thought I was going to be talking just about medical intuition. But as time went on, my guides decided to take over this podcast and to deliver the information related to the global shift in consciousness, in addition to information about medical intuition. Also, because of the pandemic, many of my podcast episodes have been dedicated to the virus. In the September transmission, I was meeting with the Galactic Federation, and I asked them if they could tell me about Earth, and I asked them what I could do to help as a medical intuitive. And they laughed at me calling myself a medical intuitive. They saw it as a limiting term, a funny Earth label to understand someone like me. So I explained to them that I had to come up with a label that Earth people could understand, something that wasn't too scary. Once we got past that, they showed me a picture of planet Earth with a light grid superimposed over it. Lots of lights were strung over the globe like Christmas lights. The grid is a network of light similar to a map of longitude and latitude. And this, they explained, is a representation of all the light workers in place on the planet. I asked if all the light workers were in place, and they said no, not yet. This was in September, but that they were getting into place. There were certain areas they explained where there were gaps in the grid, such as in the Indian Ocean and in the Atlantic Ocean. And so apparently we need to have light workers on the water as well as on land. Focusing on the United States, there are a whole lot of lights, a whole lot of light workers here. There are many light workers here, they explained, because we need them to be here. According to my guides, the U.S. is the staging area, for the apocalypse. So I asked them, what does that mean when they say apocalypse? And they said, apocalypse is where things implode and then ripple out. We are the eye of the storm, the vortex that begins spinning and then pulls everything into it like a black hole. It begins here in this country, in the middle of the country, Huma. Lights going out, networks going out, electricity or computer networks or something like that. Cities going black, something big happening. And it's related to the destabilization of structures, the demise of structures, and the staging areas here, because whatever happens here, everybody sees. We are like the loud kid in the classroom, the really loud, obnoxious kid who is also simultaneously the charming showman who everybody is always watching. Whatever happens to us, the United States, happens to everybody because everybody is watching. That is why it has to happen here, why this is the staging area. So I asked them, how do we prepare for this so-called apocalypse? And you know, I wasn't too fond of that word. I don't believe in doomsday scenarios. I don't believe in all these predictions of the end of the world. But I feel like they used that word to be dramatic purposefully to get our attention. But the answer, they said, how do we prepare, is that we have to gather the light workers. We have to gather the star seeds. Everybody has to start doing their work. No more dragging your feet. No more stalling and waiting for something to happen. We need meditations. We need ceremonies. We need community gatherings where people connect. They explain that the West Coast and the East Coast of the United States are going to work together to save the middle of the country, because the middle of the country isn't prepared. In the middle of the country, people are not as sophisticated, and they are also not collected together enough. They're not in big groups. They don't have as many large cities as the coasts do. Large groups of people exist on the East and West coasts, and they're used to working together in large groups. There's a lot of urban centers. And people in the cities are used to sharing space. They're used to collaborating with others. And I think it has to do, too, with the coast being more diverse so that you have people sharing space with people who are not like them. People in the middle of the country have a lot of space. They're spread out. They live further apart from each other. They have farms. They have space. And they don't have to collaborate and cooperate with as many people. Also, coasters are used to having to cooperate and collaborate in order to share the small spaces that they do have to share. They have less space. And so this is why the coasters are going to lead the way. They said people in the South have this idea of hospitality, but it's fractured by race. And people in the Midwest, they just own too much land and they're too focused on the family. So there's a certain clannishness there, and this is behavior that has to change. According to my guides, people will have to come together in ways that transcend family and clan, race, ethnicity, region, etc. That the East Coasters and the West Coasters know how to do this. And so they're going to have to work together, and it would be best if the East Coast and the West Coast started to form networks now, you know, like East Coast, East-West partnerships. And then after forming those partnerships, they could bring in Chicago and other urban centers throughout the heartland, and then can begin to create this network across the country. But they explain it has to start with the people who already know how to coexist, collaborate, and cooperate in close quarters, which is the case for the people who live in the coasts. Now, they explain the wildfires in California in terms of this coming together. In September, when this transmission was received, there were a lot of wildfires burning in California, millions of acres of land burnt down. And they explain that California is burning because it's going to bring Californians together, that the fires are bringing Californians together in a united struggle, and to begin to see each other as belonging to one another. They explain that the same thing happened in New York with the virus, with the early onset of the virus, and also before that with 9/11. And so they also know how to come together around crisis and calamity. So the guides are explaining that the way California comes together and the way New York has come together will then show everyone else how to come together. And next they spoke about Canada. Canada, they said, is like the timid older brother of the United States. Canada is a little bit wiser than the United States, but doesn't have the confidence of the United States. But Canada is going to have to change. Canada is going to have to step into its own. And Canada is going to eclipse the United States in terms of power and importance. And they're going to have to be ready to step into that role. They've learned a lot by watching the U.S. They're like the elder brother who was always eclipsed by the younger brother, who's smarter and better looking and more popular. But even though the younger brother has always been smarter, better looking, more popular, the older brother still knows things that the younger brother doesn't. And if the younger brother gets hurt, then the older brother has to step in. So Canada will have to take over. Canada is going to step into the position that the United States formerly held, and they're going to be an elder brother to the United States. But they're going to help the United States. They're going to take refugees from the United States. They're going to provide aid. They're going to be there for the United States. They described Mexico, as like a weary, distrustful, neglected younger sister who's distrustful of the United States because of all the past abuses, but who is also in a position to help the United States because of their farms and their produce. They also mentioned Bolivia as stepping up in some type of a helpful way. China, they said, is trying to exploit the global pandemic for its own purposes, economically and politically. And they're able to do this because they currently have a certain amount of immunity to the virus. This was in September. But this is only temporary, they say. They weren't being hard hit because of their biology. But when that changes, their orientation to the pandemic will also change. Their sense of invulnerability will change. And this will affect them. But it's going to take them longer because of that sense of invulnerability. Now, they also spoke about Russia. They said the virus was transmitted slowly at first in Russia because of the way people are spread out there. Now, the fact that they don't have as many large city centers, but that this decentralized spread of the virus also allows it to be hidden. They said people are dying in Russia, but the numbers are being hidden, and that this is also the case in parts of the United States where people are spread out and or technology is less sophisticated and death counts are more easily manipulated. Brazil is getting hard hit by the virus, they said, because of the African ancestry. And they once again talked about the way the virus hits some populations harder than others. In an earlier podcast, an earlier transmission, they explained that sickle cell is a predisposition that makes Black people more vulnerable. And that in general, certain cell structures that are unique to certain groups make those groups more vulnerable. I asked them, when is this going to change? currently the most oppressed populations are also the hardest hit by the virus? And they said, yes, this is going to change soon, that there is another predisposition that will affect the elites and the bullies through a particular organ. But they told me not to share that organ in this podcast, as they do not want the bullies to figure out a way to protect themselves from the virus. They said if the elites do not die in large numbers the way the bullied and the oppressed are dying, then the pandemic will just strengthen existing hierarchies. And if the existing hierarchies are strengthened, then the shift won't happen. The global shift of consciousness won't happen. We need the existing hierarchies to be destabilized and called into question. And that can only happen if the calamities and the pandemic run their course through every population, regardless of age, ethnicity, race, status, economic privilege, geography, body type, gender, sexuality, or disability status. Only then will the people begin to unify. They also spoke about a treatment, some kind of treatment that involves planes, kind of like crop dusters, flying and dropping medicine or chemicals either on the people or on the land in order to contaminate it, decontaminate it, or do something that's antiviral. They explained that the contamination is very widespread. The viral contamination is in the crops, it's in all the spaces, the public and private spaces. They also mentioned something about lemon juice and oil as helpful in some way in treating the virus, but gave no particulars. And as always, consult your healthcare professional before trying anything you hear in this podcast. I asked if there's anything I can tell people to help people. And they said, we have to go into ceremony. All the medicine people have to rise up. All the healers have to rise up. Everyone has to start doing ceremony. And I asked, what kind of ceremony? And they said, we need to bring back the old ceremonies, the old traditions, the blowing of the tobacco, the blowing of the herbs, the spiritual baths, the energetic decontamination. They also mentioned the bullying threads and the victim threads and the self-sacrifice threads that connect people one to another, that they all have to be cut. All of those energetic threads have to be cut and removed from the populations that have traditionally been bullied. They have to be cleansed of the history, the trauma of the past, and the history of oppression. There has to be, for example, a slavery remembering project. There has to be a Trail of Tears remembering project. There has to be a genocide remembering project. There have to be programs and projects, soul healing and group healing around past traumas. This all has to come to the surface. All of this has to be discussed. The whole traumatic history of the United States has to come to the surface, and it has to be discussed and exposed for what it really was and talked about. Apologies have to be made, acknowledgments, reparations made to the people who are the descendants of the people who were abused. Those who were abused had to be freed from carrying that any longer. They had to be freed from carrying the ancestors, the ancestral trauma. There has to be a massive ancestral trauma healing at this time. They're also showing the rainforest in Brazil, the indigenous people in Brazil, and the plants in Brazil. The people in Brazil, the indigenous people in Brazil, are the ones who can heal Brazil, they say. The people in Brazil have to acknowledge and discuss and reveal and bring to the surface the history of Brazil, the history of the genocide of the native peoples, and the history of the enslavement of the African peoples, and all of that has to come to the surface. This is why Brazil is so hard hit. This is why the U.S. is so hard hit by this pandemic, because of all of this ancestral trauma. Countries throughout the world that have this type of sordid history and lots of ancestral trauma and lots of traumatized populations are hard hit by this virus. And this is going to force people's awareness to change. It's going to force all of this to come to the surface. This is why Black Lives Matter movement is happening now at the same time as the pandemic. because this is coming to the surface, and it's going to continue to come to the surface more and more. There will not be an abatement. There will only be a growth, and there's no going back. Thank you. That's my transmission from September of 2020. Stay tuned. I'll be uploading a couple of episodes in quick succession to catch everybody up on the transmissions I've received over the past couple of months while I've been recovering. And if you'd like to support this work, please visit my Patreon page or send a donation via Venmo to Jennifer Lisa Vest. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time.